Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Moon Magic with me, your host, Jeanette Ewing, Rev Red Wolf, and my cohort in crime, Dave. Say hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave. Dave's here.
Dave's here, man. And tonight is the calendrical Samhain for some, and Halloween for others. David just came downstairs into our studio, which is our living room. And how many kids did we have tonight?
We had 63 come by tonight, which was kind of quiet for most nights. Usually Halloween, we get at least 100 at the door. So I got bags of candy left over because I buy too much.
So, yeah, needless to say, I'll be bringing some to school next week, and David will probably be bringing some to work next week.
Oh, yeah.
This year happened to be Snicker heavy.
Yeah.
Just depends on which bags you get
and different combos
and things.
Right. So all the kids got a Snickers and at least one or two other things, but everybody got a Snickers.
Yes, and one of the bags had big Snickers and then little tiny others like little bitty,
Milky Way,
which I was kind of annoyed by because I prefer the Milky Way over the Snickers, typically.
Yeah.
The other favorite is Almond Joy or Mounds, and what you bought, you didn't get any of those.
No, I don't think I had any of those. Neither one of the bags had those, no.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer.
Like Crackle and...
There's Butterfinger.
Butterfingers, Twix, left and right Twix, packaged separately.
so
because,
dumb.
You know. Yeah.
Yes. So, we are in for the evening. We've done the secular part, and so we're...
Door.
Yep. David has closed the front door. And for some people, they actually do something on the... quote-unquote, official night of Samhain. I think some people might still be a little confused out there who might think that this is the actual day, although Samhain tide is, I think, more of a season.
It's a time.
It's a time rather than a specific day.
Which is kind of what we get from Selena, too. That's kind of how Selena does it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Right.
Samhain time.
Yeah. There are still a lot of people that do it on October 31st, on tonight. But then there are people that will probably be doing things next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, including Circle Sanctuary, they typically will have their Samhain celebration before the actual Samhain. Now, I suspect next year it will be on Samhain.
Because
that, 31st. Right, because next year, 2020, Samhain does take place on that Saturday. So the 31st is on a Saturday.
Right.
But when in doubt, they typically will have it, if it's during the week, like this year and many other years, then they will have it the weekend before. So Circle Sanctuary had theirs the weekend before. We also organize a Samhain retreat up here in Northern Virginia called Hallowed Homecoming Samhain Retreat, and we had ours this past weekend. However, many people will also be doing things this weekend.
Yeah.
A lot of folks we know will actually do their Samhain celebration and ritual work on the cross quarter between the fall equinox and the winter solstice. So,
which I think this year lands it on about November 6th when I count the number of dates. So it kind of varies.
And if you're talking about what the ancient Celts might have done, and we have some evidence of what they might have done, then it would have, obviously, they did not have the Gregorian calendar. That's a Catholic invention. And it would have been some sort of midway point between those two astronomical times.
Astronomical
times. So, what do we do at this time? Well, there's a lot of things that people do. One main theme for a lot of people, not everybody, is working with ancestors, doing some sort of ancestor work where you are honoring them, where you're trying to connect with them, or maybe you're just doing some sort of remembrance. Here in the Northern Hemisphere, this is also a time that, again, not an exact day, but it is a period of time when we generally see this as the end of the harvest season as well. So in many books, this is also referred to as the last of the three harvest festivals.
Right.
And you can't talk about pagan festivals without talking about food. So what are some of the kinds of foods that we typically see around this time?
So you follow harvest stuff. Thinking like apple-related stuff, although that, you know, that kind of comes earlier in the harvest time. But apples, your squashes, I mean, that's where you see pumpkins and squashes out all over the place right now. So, obviously, a lot of squash-type stuff, pumpkins, squash, acorn squash, butternut, all those.
And for people who aren't quite aware, squashes are a New World food, so they're from here. They're from the Americas.
Yep.
And I don't know exactly when it started to happen, but sometime after the big wave of Irish immigrants came to the U.S. in the mid-1800s, we started to see the carving of pumpkins into the many faces and designs. These days, it's a friggin' art form. All kinds of crazy things.
I grew up with the two triangles for the eyes, a little triangle for the nose, and a little toothy smile kind of a thing. And that was it. You carved your pumpkin. And now they've got, like, all these carving tools and patterns and things, and you can carve, and then you can kind of scrapings and kind of scrape into it, too, so that you get the glow. You're not actually cutting through and stuff, of these designs, laser-guided etchings and everything and CAD drawings and stuff. Who knows? It's like, it's crazy.
It is. So where did that come from? Well, it's cool that the guest that we had last year was author, teacher, and all-around cool person, Byron Ballard, who's going to be on our show in the middle of November. Byron actually did do, for one of her things that she did, I think with her ancestor talk, where she carved out turnips. And it's not easy to do. So turnips are decent size. They're probably
softball?
Yeah, softball size. I was going to say comparable to the size of a grapefruit, or maybe a little larger than a grapefruit. And they're a hard root. And in fact, at this time of the year, the root vegetables that many of us like to year-round, but we also eat at this time of the year, they have their origins in Europe. So turnips were brought over here from, I guess initially from Ireland, but they were grown in other European countries. And we used to have, initially, people carving pumpkins. Or carving turnips and carving little faces into them to scare away evil spirits.
Yeah. Right, because the idea was that on Halloween, this is when the evil spirits came out and would come into your home and do bad things and that kind of stuff. So the idea was to carve these little turnips and things to scare away the spirits away from your house, which is really different from what other traditions and practices do. But yeah, it was to keep them away.
Right. So again, sometime after the Irish came to America, that practice transferred over into pumpkins, which arguably might be a little bit easier. But the downside is that the pumpkins that are grown today can be big, so it can take time to do that. In fact, this year, I mean, we bought big pumpkins. We just have them sitting outside for aesthetics, because it does take a bit of time to hollow them out and pull out the seeds and the goo and things like that. But that is one of the origins of today's Halloween, is doing that.
Like, if you Google carved turnips for Halloween, just Google or Bing or whatever you just search for it, that and look at the images, and they're creepy.
Yeah, they are creepy. And the idea was that, and I've read in multiple books, and Byron Ballard's talked about it, and so has Selena Fox, the idea was that you needed to carve a face to confuse the spirits so that they wouldn't come after you. So,
yeah.
Right. And this custom might be a custom that is maybe more Christian-based rather than something based on ancient Celtic practices. That would be my guess. Now, opposite of that view of the dead is the Day of the Dead, which also is decidedly not Christian, although now in modern times does have some mixing, some mixing of Christianity thrown in there. But in this case, the dead are honored and they're welcomed, and the benevolent view of working with and honoring and worshiping ancestors really dovetails into modern paganism, for sure. Because one of the practices that we do now is we, not everybody, but many people do honor their ancestors in one way, shape, or another.
I found a good story about the jack-o'-lanterns.
Okay. What's the story?
So as we were getting ready for this, I found a story for the jack-o'-lanterns. And the story is that there was a guy named Stingy Jack, and he invited the devil for a drink and convinced the devil to shapeshift into a coin to pay with. When the devil obliged, which why would he? But he did. Jack decided he wanted to keep the coin for other purposes and kept it in his pocket alongside a small silver cross to prevent the devil from turning back into a coin. He eventually freed the devil under the condition that he would not bother Jack for a year and would not claim Jack's soul once he died. Then the next year, a year later, Jack tricked the devil once more by convincing him to climb up a tree to fetch a piece of fruit. Now, again, I thought the devil was smarter than this, but okay. All right. When the devil was up in the tree, Jack carved a cross in the trunk so the devil could not come down until he swore that he would not bother Stingy Jack for another 10 years. When Jack died, God wouldn't let him in heaven, and the devil wouldn't let him into hell, so he got stuck. He was sent in the eternal night with a burning coal inside a carved-out turnip to light his way. and the legend is he's been seen roaming the earth ever since, which is how we became to know of the Jack of the Lantern, or the Jack-o'-lantern. So the Jack-o'-lantern was Stingy Jack, the spirit of Stingy Jack, walking around the countryside with a burning coal ember in a carved-out turnip to light his way.
All righty then.
So that's why we have Jack-o'-lanterns, because of Stingy Jack, trying to trick the devil, and got himself stuck in between.
Okay. Right. So, besides root vegetables and squashes, David mentioned apples.
Mm-hmm.
Nuts,
yep,
are popular foods at this time of the year, because starting in the later part of the harvest time is when you harvest a lot of nuts. You also have certain meat dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you will see pork dishes at this type of the time of the year as well. Mulled wine.
Yep.
Cider.
Yep.
So there are a number of different kinds of things that you tend to see food-wise at this time of the year. So what about things to do? What do people tend to do? Now, there's one practice we don't tend to do, and I've seen it written a couple of different ways. If you follow the pantheon of deities that are Greek, then there is the Persephone mythos. And in some, she goes down in September, well, at the fall equinox, but in others, she would go down into the underworld at this time of the year and then come back at around Beltane time. So there, that is another mythology that some people do follow and honor. So this becomes a time where Persephone descends into the underworld to spend time with the Lord of the Underworld.
Hades.
Hades. And then in the spring, he lets her come back. And then that's how the earth is allowed to flourish and become green and fertile again. So that is one mythology. The others, one of the others, is also that this is a time when you do protection work. So as this time of the year tends to mark the beginning for many pagans as a dark time of the year, at least until the sun starts to return, which is after the winter solstice.
Right.
Many people do protection work. Many people do other types of introspective work. Many people will do shadow work, where you are working to connect with or make peace with the shadow self. And then still for others, the day after Samhain, which would be November 1st, I guess if you All Saints Day, which for some is also the Wiccan New Year, where they with modern times, we do use the modern calendar, and so for many people, this marks the end of, because it marks the end of the harvest, it also marks the end of the year, and perhaps end of the Celtic year, and so I have read it, for some, it is the Wiccan New Year, and for others, it is the Celtic New Year. So, what do people do at the beginning of a year? They want to do divination work, so they do divinatory work, maybe with tarot or with the I Ching or with runes to do a forecast of what to do during the new year. Now, for others, though, it is what should I be working on perhaps during this dark time of the year? Is there any particular type of introspective work I should be looking at during this time of the dark year? So people can and often do view it a couple of different ways. You know, it really depends on what their particular pagan belief systems are. And as I've said before, some simply do not. And this is just a continuation, and this is just the dark time of the year. So if you're doing work with foods where you want to incorporate some element, certainly the foods we had mentioned, if you also want to incorporate some sort of protection magic into some of your cooking, you can cook spicy foods.
Yeah. Like cinnamon stuff that are protective.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have all of the various peppers, but then interestingly, some of the other spicy foods that are, they are warming but not spicy like peppers, like cinnamon and nutmeg and cloves and allspice and ginger. Well, those are types of warming spices and roots, because ginger's a root,
yeah,
that you can add to various recipes. Oh, let's say your pumpkin soup or your pumpkin pie or your pumpkin bread or your pumpkin custard or one of the other 1,050 things you can do with pumpkin. And incorporate that element into it using a food associated with this time of the year. And that's, you know, that's kind of a really cool thing to do, you know, to be able to take these foods that a lot of us associate with this time of year and do something highly specific. Now, there are other foods. There are herbs that are certainly associated with protection work. One of them is rosemary. Another one is basil. And those are nice to incorporate as well in some way, shape, or form, although it's arguably easier to incorporate, I think, probably rosemary rather than basil, because I think
basil is a seasonal thing, so it's kind of tough to find it fresh. It's not as readily available fresh nowadays at this time. I mean, you can find it. It's grown in hydroponics and greenhouses and stuff like that. You can find fresh basil. But to me, basil is more of a spring herb than a fall. So I would go with rosemary because rosemary is always fresh. You know, because we grow rosemary in our garden, so we always have fresh rosemary, and it's year-round we have fresh rosemary. So, and it's nice this time of year. Think about all the roasted chickens and turkeys and stuff that happen at this time of year and in the fall over the next couple months. you know, a lot of rosemary is going to be used, breads and things. Yeah, so it's it kind of works its way into it very well, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Speaking of recipes, we have, and this is from Cunningham's Encyclopedia of Wicca in the Kitchen. And hopefully people are aware that the books by Scott Cunningham that are out now are later editions and later printings that may have also been edited to add a little bit newer information, but Scott Cunningham himself passed away back in 1993. But even though he's passed away decades ago, his books are great. They're still relevant. They're highly useful. And this book, The Cunningham's Encyclopedia of Wicca in the Kitchen, has a lot of great recipes. And there's another author, Trish Chalesco, mm-hmm. that has several witchy cooking books that have a number of really good recipes that are associated with particular magical work and associated with, or you can say, I guess you can say associated with particular Sabbats, although that doesn't mean you can only cook it at that time of the year, but it is a type of food that you could cook it for that particular Sabbat. So this is the recipe for Samhain cider. You have 3 oranges, 3 teaspoons of whole cloves, 1 gallon of apple cider, 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1 teaspoon of ground nutmeg, 1 cinnamon stick, and it says optional here, 1 cup of orange juice. And you put everything together, let it simmer uncovered, and then, you know, add the orange juice afterwards if desired. And you serve it in mugs. Now, additionally, what you can do is also, you don't have to. You can add a little bit of, what do we call it, medicine?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You can add a little medicine to it. Some adult beverage, a.k.a. rum or some sort of similar thing, and make it a little bit boozy as well. I could really see this with a little bit of rum in it. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
So what you do with the oranges, though, is you poke holes, like using an ice pick or something like that, you poke little holes in the whole oranges so that you can put the whole cloves in, you know, like some people do with the the ham, where you stud it.
I see those decorations and stuff, too, yeah, with the orange with the cloves.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see them around.
Right. And in this case, though, I guess you put the whole orange in.
Yeah.
Yeah. This says to let simmer uncovered for 13 minutes. I think he was being cute here. I know, right? I would simmer it for a good 20 minutes so that everything, all of the spices mix and marry together very nicely. Now, in some parts of the U.S., it is already cold. In Wisconsin, they had a little bit of snow
for Samhain.
Here in Northern Virginia, we have a weird weather front that we are still in the middle of. It is in the upper 70s here, and once the front moves through, we'll have more fall-appropriate weather with daytime highs in the 50s. But it's just kind of annoyingly, creepily warm and muggy out right now.
For 8:30 p.m. on October 31st, it's 76 degrees in Northern Virginia, which is, like, way warmer than it should be.
Yeah. But if you are in a part of the U.S., or Europe, for that matter,
mm-hmm.
northern hemisphere, and it is chilly out. This is also, this is related to the cider. In this case, you use 3 bottles of red wine rather than 1 gallon of cider. 3 oranges, 3 teaspoons of whole cloves, teaspoon of cinnamon, teaspoon of nutmeg, cinnamon stick, orange juice optional. Although, for the red wine, I don't think it would mix very well. I think it would taste weird. That's my personal take on it. So you would stud the oranges just like you do with the Samhain cider recipe, and then you will simmer it again. We've done mulled wine a few different times, and it does require a good 20 minutes or so for you to get the nice spicy notes of the spices in there, personally.
Yes.
And that makes a really nice...
non-reactive pot.
Yeah, good point. We also have ginger tea, and it's easy enough to make warm ginger tea. You just use fresh ginger root. And this recipe calls for 1/3 cup of peeled and sliced ginger root to 5 cups of water. And you do want to boil it for a good 20 minutes because with these roots, the qualities of the root do not impart easily. And to that you add, this has 3/4 cup of sugar. Add less if you want. And then also 1/2 teaspoon of ground cinnamon. This would make a yummy tea. And magically speaking, this would be good for love, money, and success, although I would argue that ginger is also protective, so you could make a protective ginger tea with that as well. My own personal 2 cents worth on that. Then we have witch's brew, and this is a boozy drink. 3/4 ounce light rum. We might have to do this, Dave. 3/4 ounce of light rum, 3/4 ounce dark rum, orange curacao.
Yep.
The sweet and sour mix, orange juice, 2 ounces orange juice, 2 ounces pineapple juice, a little bit of grenadine, some maraschino cherries, pineapple wedges for garnish. Yeah, that sounds tasty. So there you go. Just a few things, Samhain related for this time of year. So one of the things that we talked about is ancestor work, and you don't have to do this for one night. You can keep your ancestor up, altar up, all the time. And one of Selena's recent repeat shows that we do on Sundays was all about doing work with the ancestors.
Yeah.
So you can keep an ancestor altar up all year round, or have it up just at this one particular time of the year. Pictures, mementos, maybe symbols that you might associate with those particular people. And who do we count as our ancestors? For many people, the obvious choice is going to be people in your bloodline, people you are biologically related to. But I think it's important for people to remember that at this time, it can also be people in your community who have passed on that were important to you. Does it need to be just your biological family? Absolutely not. It can, and for many of us, it is our chosen family. And likewise, it is also a time to honor those people in our community that have had an impact on us as pagan leaders and teachers. For example, this year in our pagan community, we've lost a number of people who were authors and still active, and for some, still actively doing things in the community. In our own circle sanctuary community, Reverend Nora Cedarwin Young passed earlier this year.
Yeah, right before PSG.
Yes, it was right before PSG.
She was looking to go to PSG, and that didn't work out. And, yeah.
She got sick and had a number of catastrophic things that ended up happening and did not recover from that particular illness. She, part of her cremains are at Circle's Cemetery.
Yeah.
Circle Sanctuary has 20 acres dedicated to
a natural green cemetery.
Yes, a natural green cemetery.
Yeah.
So of the 200 acres, that is Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. 20 acres of that is cemetery. And they can do whole body burials and also receive cremains. So she is the latest in many people that we have honored.
Yeah.
And there is a gravestone marker dedicated to her. Also this year, we have lost Raven Grimasi and author Edaine McCoy.
Right.
And she's another person who, at some point years ago, had asked to have either some or all of her cremains at Circle, and they did an honoring of her as well recently up at the cemetery. So as we enter the dark time of the year, it's colder, it's a quieter time. I feel like it invites death. Maybe it's just my perception.
Yeah.
That it seems like we do lose more people during the dark months of the year. But
we talked about that before, how we tend to, people tend to die during the dark time of the year, I think more than the rest of the year. Because I've done family research stuff, and, that seems to be a running theme of, and others too, is just during the winter, during the colder, dark time of the year, is when death is closer, I think, yeah.
So besides honoring the Wicked New Year and doing stuff with death, well, you can't have death without some sort of transformative work going on. So for many people, doing transformative types of work is a common, and I could say argue, a necessary thing. I think we all need to embrace change from time to time,
yep,
whether we want to or not. So transformation, transformative work can become an important tool. Likewise, I guess related to that, is also looking at the aspect of rebirth. If you are a person who sees tomorrow, the 1st, as the Wiccan New Year or the Celtic New Year, well, then it's a time of rebirth now, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you can use this, that time to maybe rebirth some goals and ideas and projects and things that you hadn't done, that you hadn't completed, that maybe is a good time to do, especially during these quieter, colder months of the year. I think that's a good idea to do. So who are, besides the Persephone and Hades gods and goddesses, god and goddess, bleh, there you go.
Those words.
Hecate is a goddess that is actually a triplicate goddess, but I think the aspect of the crone of that particular goddess is someone that people work with. Any crone goddesses in general, I think, are good. Also, Caradhwen. Caradhwen's cauldron of wisdom.
Yeah.
So the main theme of our main ritual this year at our event was receiving wisdom from Caradhwen's cauldron of wisdom. And there are different guided meditations that people can do to work with that particular energy. Likewise, the horned god, the dark god, if you want to be very generic, Kernunos, for some, Anubis is also a deity to work with. Now, we didn't happen to do this year, but we have done this in the past, where this night is a good time to release all the stuff that no longer serves you. So, outdated, outmoded ideas, thought forms, negative, harmful habits, toxic people in your lives. So releasing that which no longer serves us is also a popular thing to do at this time of the year. So one thing that you can do on this night is do something very simple for yourself. You don't need a candle, although I am a candle person. Light a candle. Use it as your focusing tool. Take a few minutes to do some grounding and think about those things that you no longer want in your life. Write them down, put them on a piece of paper, burn the paper. Send those messages out to the universe. If you destroy the paper, you also are sympathetically getting rid of those things that no longer serve you. But if you do want to do something simple to honor your ancestors, one thing you can do, and there's several things you can do. Again, you can light a candle to honor those that have passed this year if you want to make it more immediate. You can do a version of a ritual that Selena did. And years ago, Selena had more stuff on the Circle website of other things to do for particular seasons of the year. It's actually been refined now. They just have a basic celebrating the season for each of these. But then there is lore and ritual. Let me see. Does she have it here? And this is a ritual that is designed to do by yourself. I think that's initially how she wrote it, but it can be done, and we've adapted it,
yeah.
And have adapted elements of this to group ritual before. We've done it a couple of different times, and in this particular ritual, you start off by burning some sort of incense to cleanse and consecrate your particular ritual area. If you don't want to use incense and you have something like essential oils, you could put those in a little vaporizer or add them to a mister and mist the space with essential oils of maybe rosemary, peppermint, pine. Frankincense is also a good one, but it's a little harder to come by.
Yeah.
Honor whatever elements and the particular sacred directions you associate with them. Call upon whatever deities you want to. And then, again, think about whatever beloved dead. And again, this beloved dead can be a large group.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always have to be, biological family. It can be your family of choice, obviously friends. This also includes four-legged family members. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, four-legged or winged. There you go.
Yeah.
Companion creatures. Where you call out the names of those who you have lost. And you call on them to bring guidance. At Samhain, take a few moments, see what messages might come to you, what guidance. When you're ready to move on, give thanks. You can ring a bell or a rattle. Then you can call on those who have had a role and have been important from larger society of which you are a part. So ancestors of place in society. And in that group, you could also include those distant ancestors, let's say, maybe ancestors in your family line that are many generations back, clan ancestors, and the like.
Right.
And take time to remember them, honor them, reflect on any messages that might come from them, and then when you're ready, you you can move on. Ring a bell or a rattle when you're done with that part. And then you have those spirits of the dead from the larger society. Again, I often think of pagan authors and teachers that have had an impact on my life. So one of the people that I've often called upon to honor at this time is the author Scott Cunningham, because even today he still impacts us because we still use his books. He has a number of books that he wrote, and
the information is still valid. It still works.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Personal teachers. Teachers of your coven or grove, definitely.
Yeah, we just had a leader of a local coven pass away the past few weeks down in Fredericksburg. That's they're working through that right now, too. Right before Salwyn is when she passed, and it was a couple weeks ago. So this has been a rough Salwyn for them, I'm sure, having to work through that.
Right, and she had stuff going on all the time until she got really sick.
Yeah.
They would routinely have full moons and hold Sabbaths, and it was a big impact and a big loss for that particular community down there. So
Jenny Stone, Fredericksburg.
Yep, Jenny Stone. And again, we mentioned authors. People maybe in the region or regional community. And for those who are listening who also have attended PSG, there have been numerous people over the past several years that have passed. We mentioned Nora Cedarwin Young, but there have been others that have also been part of that PSG community that have also passed, and this becomes a good time to honor them, to thank them for whatever guidance they gave you, or just being there for you, being a good friend.
Yeah.
You can also do something if you don't want to do a big ritual. Maybe just have an altar space set up for these particular people. So you can have offerings of maybe their favorite food, favorite drinks. Maybe put little mementos or flowers or something so that they are remembered. As we often say, what is remembered lives. And you can spend time thinking about all of your beloved dead, your ancestors, what this time means to you. Honor those you had not also honored. And then when you're done and you say goodbye to your ancestors of family community and greater pagan community, or however you term it, then you extinguish each candle. Or in the case of me and David, we tend to use the little spell candles or votives. So we'll keep them burning for the entire period of time, which they tend to burn for about somewhere between an hour and a half.
About that, yeah.
Yeah. And then we just let them go out on their own, naturally.
Okay. Yeah.
So those are some things to do. Remember, Samhain is not one night. At least I don't think so. Samhain is a time. So cook your root vegetables. Honor those who have come before you. Honor those teachers and authors and friends and family. And remember to take some time for yourself to reflect on what you've accomplished this year and think about what you might want to do in the months to come. Do a little divination work. Look at the tarot. Mm-hmm. Take out your scrying tools. Your pendulum, if you work with that. Or runes.
Yeah.
And do some good introspective work.
Yeah.
And have a good Samhain evening. So what do we have going on in the next few weeks?
Well, Selena hasn't really decided what she's going to be doing yet for her shows. She has been giving it. So the last month she had a 4-part series on the Wednesday nights, where she talked about the history of Circle Sanctuary, which is really interesting stuff. And she hasn't really nailed down yet what she's going to do next month. I think Circle Talk, let me check that out real quick. What do we got? When's the next Moon Magic?
The next Moon Magic will be November 14th.
Okay.
And we're going to have Byron Ballard on. So be looking for that.
She's cool.
She is cool. So November 2nd is Pagans del Mundo, and that is Christian Ortiz's show. November 4th is the Spanish Lunatic Mondays, and with guest Gabby Martinez. On Circle Talk, and I'm looking forward to this, is, and again, Deborah Rose is the host of that, so that's November 5th.
On the 5th, yeah, the Buckland Museum of Magic.
Yeah, so she's talking with people at the Buckland Museum, so that's going to be really cool.
Which is in Cleveland, Ohio. I did not realize that was in Cleveland, Ohio. Maybe we should go to Cleveland, Ohio sometime. Yes. Then Paganos del Mundo on the 9th with Carolina Amor. And let's see, you got a Nature Mystic on Sunday, Lunatic Mondays with Oberon Zell on the 11th. That'd be cool. He's fun. Yep. So that's kind of what's coming up in the next couple of weeks between now and the next Moon Magic. So.
Oh, and November 19th is
Arthur
Hines, and he hasn't been on for a couple of years, several years actually.
Yeah.
I think at least 2 or 3 years. So
it'll be a good special.
It'll be a good show. He has a new group that he's performing with, was it Arthur Hines and the Round Table? I think.
Yeah.
And so he's done some new music this year, so that'll be a good show as well. So we've got a lot of stuff coming up. Stuff on, again, Lunatic Mondays, Paganos del Mundo, and stay tuned for Selena's stuff. So Selena always has cool stuff, and we will also be doing another show on Sundays, so we will have more episodes that are the best of Selena's
past podcasts,
yeah. Right. So stay tuned for that. So what I thought we would take you out with this evening, it's a really nice song by Dave the Bard called Samhain Eve.
Exactly what I was thinking, too. That one or John Barleycorn, but Samhain Eve is a nice one. So, that'll work.
So, thank you for listening. Thank you, Circle Sanctuary, for allowing us to have our show on the air and for allowing us to have Circle Sanctuary Nature Podcasts.
Yep. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
Happy Samhain.
Happy Samhain and happy ancestor work.
Leave my soul.
And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNPodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.